so that we can come to God and praise him, hear his word, and also to seek him in prayer. Let me just begin by praying as we commit our time to the Lord and seek him in prayer. The psalmist writes, "Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Our Father in heaven, we come before you this morning, and maybe in the same way as the psalmist David needed to prompt himself to praise you. Sometimes we need to do that for our own hearts and souls, that we should come to praise you, because you are the God who is worthy of the praise of our lips, of our hearts, of our minds, of all of our lives. You deserve to be worshipped by those that you have created and made in your image to know you. How much more do you deserve to be praised by those that you have saved from our sin? And we thank you for the great truth that you are the God who is holy, the God who is absolutely pure in every way, and that all of your thoughts, all of your words, all of your deeds are totally righteous. You're the God who in every way is the God who is good and so worthy of praise. And you also are the God who has blessed us in so many ways. As the psalmist talks about the benefits that your people have in being saved by you. Father, help us to remember these blessings. We remember that we have been forgiven, that we have been spiritually restored, healed, to be able to know you and to have fellowship with you. We have been those who have been redeemed from your judgment. We no longer have to live in fear of death and of your judgment coming upon us. We have been those who you have crowned with your love and compassion. Day by day, we can know your blessings in our lives. We can know your presence with us. And so we have so much to be thankful for, so much to come and praise you with all of our being. And we pray that you would help us to be doing that this morning by your Holy Spirit. As we draw near to you, we pray that you would draw near to us and that you would be filling us with your Holy Spirit. And as we come, we pray that you would forgive us our sins of this day. And Father, we pray that you would be at work within us, that you would speak into our lives through your word, that you would enliven our hearts and our minds to the truth of your being, your ways, and that you would cause us to live more and more in conformity to the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that our lives might bring glory and honor to your name. So we commit this time together into your hands and pray that it would be for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Are you able, Kevin, to start the icing for our first hymn, which we're going to be singing, which is remembering and praising God for his faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee.
I see all I have needed. is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon and stars in their courses above, join
children around, if they can be present, that would be great. It's going to so I think I can see two.
Yeah.
Morning, Ryan, good to see you. Oh, we've got Theo and James as well. If you want to unmute yourselves just for this little moment.
Hello.
Hello. Hi, Theo. Good to see you. Hi, Ryan. Just waiting for Sean to come back. Well, I've got a treat today, but sadly, it's going to have to be a treat for me and not for everyone else, because I can't really share all of these things with you. So you'll have to imagine what it is like to receive the treat that I've got. So here it is.
A licorice all sorts. They're like my favourite. They're all for you.
Oh, well, that's really good.
Also, they're all for me.
Full box of licorice all sorts. Look, they're still all in there.
Why don't you like to save some or something?
So why are they called licorice all sorts, do you think? Why is that their name? Yeah, Theo?
Because there are all sorts of licorice. There are licorice.
Okay, let me show you.
Buckets, coconut rolls, rocks, more coconut rolls, jelly buttons, more coconut rolls.
Some of them are all little bubbles, like that. Is that anyone's favourite?
Yeah, that's my favourite.
That's my favourite as well.
That's
and some of them are a bit like wheels. They've got a hub in the middle and then they've got some coconut down the outside. And so that some people like those ones. Some of them have five layers to them.
So oh, yeah.
There. And then some of them have only got three layers. So they're a bit different, aren't they? And some of them are different colours. And what else have we got? We've got some that are square shapes and like a...
Have you got any more yummy things?
Like a checkerboard. And what else have we got? Some of them are like sausages. Some are like sausage rolls with a bit of lid. And some of them are just round sausages. Like, oh, there's an extra long one there. Look, stuck together. So there's all sorts of licorice, all sorts in this box of licorice, all sorts. And I wonder whether your mouth is watering as you think about those different licorice all sorts. I know my mouth is, and I'm lucky because I can be able to eat some of them later after my lunch. I can't be able to share them with you at the moment. But it's quite surprising, isn't it, that you find all sorts of things in one box altogether. I wonder why it is they all come in one box. They're all very different, as we've seen, but they share one thing in common, don't they? That means they can all come together in one box. So what's the thing that they have in common? They're all very different, but what do they have in common? Yes, Theo?
They all have licorice components. Some have full licorice.
Brilliant.
And some have barely any, but they all have licorice.
They all have licorice in them, don't they? That's what unites them. And that's what means that they can all go into one box, even though they're all sorts, they can all go into one box and come together because they all have licorice in common, even though they're each individually very different to one another. A box of licorice all sorts like this reminds me of what the church is to be and what the church is, because the church is made up of all sorts of people. People of different ages, different backgrounds, different colours. Some are men and some are women. Some are young, some are old. Some have been brought up in various countries and different places around the world. And they are all part of one church. And so all sorts of people can be together as one church. But what is it that unites those people? Just as licorice all sorts are all united by all having licorice in common. What is it that people who are all very different have in common that makes them all together as one church, do you think? One thing that we have in common is the people who are part of the church. Yes, James?
We love God.
We love God. That's a very good answer, isn't it? We love God. But the way that we love God is by knowing Jesus and trusting in Jesus and having Jesus as our Lord. And there's a verse I'm going to read that Mary's going to read a bit later on as well in a moment from our reading today from 1 Corinthians chapter 1 that reminds us about why we are all one as part of the church. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2, and it says this: to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be holy. And it then says, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Their Lord and ours. What unites people as the church is Jesus Christ, is calling upon Jesus, which means to be Jesus and having Jesus as the Saviour and the Lord of your life. It's wonderful because anyone can do that. You don't have to be a particular shape or size or colour or have a particular background or have done anything special. Anyone can call upon the Lord Jesus Christ and put their trust in him and have him as their Lord. And so be part of God's church and being made ready for heaven. So today, if you're a youngster, you don't have to wait till you get old to call upon the name of Jesus and trust in him. Anyone can do that. You have to ask yourself, am I trusting in Jesus? Have I called upon him and so a part of his people and being prepared by him to be with him forever? Well, we're going to have our reading now. Mary's going to come and sit next to me and she's going to read. So if you've got a Bible, just want to open it to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And she's going to read from verses 1 to 9. And so I'm going to hand over to Marion.
One Corinthians, Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be holy, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank God for you, because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, in all your speaking and in all your knowledge, because our testimony about Christ was confirmed in you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will keep you strong to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God, who has called you into his fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, is faithful.
Thank you. We're going to look at those verses in a little while. But Jan's going to come and bring our prayers now. So Kevin's going to spotlight her and she's going to come and bring our prayers for this morning.
Okay. Good morning, everybody. I just want to start by reading just one verse from the Bible. It's from Psalm 104, which says, "Praise the Lord, my soul. Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendour and majesty." Heavenly Father, I just thank you that as we come to you this morning, that's who you are, Lord. You are very great and you are clothed with splendour and majesty. I thank you, Lord, that you are the only true God, that there are no other gods beside you, Lord, and that you love us so very much, so much more than we often appreciate or understand, Lord. But we know that the measure of your love has been shown to us by the way that you were willing to give us your only Son to die for us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you are also holy. Lord, there is no evil in you, there is no darkness, Lord, but you are a holy God that we can trust in and rely on to be the same always. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the Lord Jesus that you sent on our behalf, Lord, to die on the cross, Lord, which means that we're able to come into your presence. Lord, without him, we wouldn't be able to come before you today and bring our prayers and our requests and our thanksgiving, Lord, because we are a sinful people, Lord. We often do wrong, and you wouldn't be able to, Lord, hear our prayers and to have us come before you. And it's only because of Jesus that we're able to do so. So we thank you, Lord, that you've made that possible, that you made a way for us to be reconciled to you and to be in relationship with you once more, Lord. Thank you that you have made us your children when we put our faith in Jesus, that we become a part of your family and you are our Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord, that you care for us. And thank you, Lord, that when we come to you, that you tell us that if we confess all the things that we do wrong, if we confess our sins, Lord, that you will forgive us because of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, that when he died, his death was sufficient to cover all of our wrongdoing. Lord, that we are able to come to you and be washed clean, Lord, and made able to come into your presence. So we thank you, Lord, that we're able to do that this morning and come before you. Lord, I pray that you will forgive us for all the things that we've done in the past week, where we've gone against your will and done our own thing, Lord. We've gone our own way in the things that we think and the things that we do and the actions that we undertake, Lord. Pray, Lord, that you would forgive us, Lord, and Lord, help us to live for you in the coming week. Help us to desire to do your will and to live as you want us to more and more. Lord, and I thank you for keeping us through the last week, for providing for our needs, Lord, for Lord, keeping us safe and enabling us to meet together once more today. Lord, and I look to you for the coming week. Lord, we know that many of us have had trials in the past week and difficulties. And Lord, we may be facing more trials in the coming week and more difficulties. And Lord, I pray that you will be with us. Lord, that as we face those difficulties and those challenges and uncertainties, Lord, I pray that you will be our strength. Lord, that as we, Lord, I may be uncertain what to do or what is the best path to take, Father, help us to look to you for wisdom and for guidance. And I pray that you would show us the way to go that you would provide for all our needs, Lord, and that we would have peace and joy in knowing that you are with us and that you are caring for us, Lord, and that you love us so very much. Lord, I thank you that you tell us to come before you and to cast our cares upon you because you care for us. And I thank you, Lord, that you invite us to do that, that where we are troubled for ourselves or for others, that we can bring those concerns and those troubles to you. And you hear us, Lord, and you answer our prayers and you help us. So, Lord, we want to bring to you, Lord, some amongst us today. Lord, I want to pray for Ruth and for Anna, who are, Lord, starting their university this week. Lord, I pray for Anna, who went to Reading yesterday, and I pray for her today, her first day there, as she's settling in and starting to make friends, Lord, and find a way around. Lord, I pray you be with her. Lord, especially as she's separated from Anna for the first time. Lord, I pray for them both as they get used to being in separate places, Lord, and the challenge that will bring for them, almost an extra challenge over and above the usual challenges that young people face. Lord, I pray that you would, Lord, help them and encourage them and help them to settle in. And I do pray for Anna, Lord, and for Phil and for Louise as they're travelling up to Leeds to drop Anna off. Lord, give them a safe journey there and back. And Lord, I pray for Anna as she settles in as well. Lord, and encourage her and help her to make good friends. Lord, I pray for them both. I thank you that they both know you and love you. And Lord, I pray that you would help them to make good Christian friends and to find a church where they can go and worship you, Lord. And I pray they would grow spiritually while they're at university, that, Lord, they come to know you more and their faith would increase. Father, I just pray as well for Jeremiah and for Sam, who are due to return to Georgia to start their doctor's training, Lord. I pray for them that you would go with them also, Lord. Keep them safe as they travel. And Father, I pray for them while they're there, that you'll help them with their studies. Lord, help them to settle in. And I pray they would make good friends also, Lord. And I pray it would be a time when they really seek after you, when they, Lord, want to know more about you and really put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. And Father, I just want to pray for those also who are unwell. And I pray particularly for Matthew's father-in-law today, Tom, who's in hospital at the moment. Lord, I pray that you would be with him. I thank you, Lord, that there has been a measure of improvement. And I do want to pray for him that that might continue, that he might be able to go home. Lord, I pray for his wife, Pam, and for Karen, their daughter. Lord, be with that family and just help them. Give them peace, Lord, at this time. And I pray, Lord, for the doctors and the nurses who are caring for him, that you would just give them wisdom and, Lord, enable them to treat him well. And, Lord, that the decisions they make would be, Lord, the best ones for Tom at this time. And, Lord, I also want to pray for others, Lord, in amongst us, Lord, who are struggling with different conditions of health, Lord. And I just pray that you be with them, Lord. Some of them are very difficult to manage on a day-to-day basis. It impacts their quality of life, Lord, and the things that they can do, which at one time they would have done quite easily, which now present a greater challenge because of the conditions that they have. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would be with each one. Lord, you know who they are, and you know the different conditions that they face and the different challenges that this presents. Father, I pray for your loving hand upon them. I pray, Lord, that you would be their strength. Lord, that you would help them to overcome the problems that they face each day. And Lord, despite these problems, that they would know your presence with them. Lord, that they would have your joy and your peace with them each day, and that you would encourage them, Lord. Thank you for those who, Lord, still proclaim your praises and still love you and follow you. And Lord, that's such a witness to the rest of us that, Lord, in difficult times, we still can be near you, Lord. And in some ways, we can know you better because we have to rely on you even more and your strength and your grace, Lord, each day. So, Lord, I pray that you be with them this day and throughout the coming week so that whatever challenges they face, they would know that you're with them. And Lord, I pray for those also who can't be with us today because of technology that they don't have access to currently. I think especially of Lil and Harold. And I just pray that they would know your presence with them. Lord, I pray you'd encourage them and strengthen them, that they would, Lord, know you with them and know that we're thinking of them and that we miss them. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity they have to hear your word, Lord, at home or to read it the details of the message that's going to be given today. Lord, and I pray that they would be encouraged and strengthened in their faith also. Lord, that you would just watch over them and bless them. And Lord, I just pray as well for Chris, who's waiting for her scan. And Lord, I just ask that you would be near her, that you would encourage her. I thank you, Lord, for her love for you and her faithfulness in serving you, Lord. And I thank you that, Father, she's an example to us in many ways. And I just pray that you would continue to bless her and encourage her, Lord. And Lord, the doctors would be wise in diagnosing what's wrong and knowing how to treat that. And I pray, Lord, that she would soon be recovered from the symptoms that she's been suffering from, and she'd feel much better and able to just carry on with her day-to-day life. So be near her, Lord, and be her strength, Lord. Help her to be patient. It's hard sometimes to be patient when we're used to being well and active, and suddenly ill health slows us down, Lord. So I pray that you would just encourage her during this time and draw close to her, Lord. And Lord, I just want to also remember our government before you. Lord, I pray for them in their day-to-day tasks, Lord. They face many challenges, Lord, at the moment, which must in many ways feel very overwhelming for them. And I pray for them that you would be near them. Lord, I know that many of them don't know you, but Lord, I pray that you would just guide them. Lord, give them strength for the tasks that they have been elected to do. Lord, help them to make wise decisions. Help them, Lord, to know what's best to do when maybe sometimes it's not clear what's best to do. Help them to decide on a path and guide their thinking, Lord. I pray for our Prime Minister that you would be near him as he leads the Cabinet. Lord, I ask you to, Lord, just strengthen him and show him how to, Lord, go about his business each day. And Lord, I pray for our Queen also. I pray that you would be near her and watch over her, Lord, and keep her safe as she continues her duties in a restricted way. I pray, Lord, that you will protect her, Lord, and thank you, Lord, for her witness and her faith in you. And I pray that you would just be near her, that you would guide her thinking and her decisions in all that she does. So, Lord, I thank you that we can bring these things to you. I pray, Lord, that you would watch over us, and Lord, bless us as we hear your word. Help us to have ears that hear, and Lord, put our faith and trust in you, and Lord, to be willing to obey your word and not just to hear it and then forget it, but Lord, that may we dwell on it. May we think about how we need to live in accordance with your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Jan and Kevin, if you want to put spotlight back onto me. And we're going to then sing a song. We're going to sing Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Then we'll be coming to God's word. So I'm going to sing and then come to God's word.
Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story,
is my song, praising my Saviour all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I am my Saviour, I'm happy and blessed. Watching, waiting, my song, praising my Saviour all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Saviour all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Saviour. This is my song, praising my Saviour all the day long.
Okay, we're going to come to God's Word now. So if you've got a Bible, if you want to have it open with me to 1 Corinthians and chapter 1 and verses 1 to 9 that we had read earlier. The former Radio 1 and television presenter, Noel Edmonds, is reported to have once said that church is the most boring experience on offer. Church is the most boring experience on offer. To him, church was a no deal, something to be avoided at all costs. Sadly, even though Noel Edmonds is a thing of the past and the church is still going strong, there are many Christians who seem to agree with his assessment. They consider that church is not for them. At best, church is just an optional extra for the Christian life, an experience to can be consumed as according to your taste, as and when you feel like it. Maybe when other things, important things like family or work or hobbies don't get in the way, then church may have a place in your life. Now, our feelings about church certainly will be influenced by our past experiences. Sometimes those may not have been particularly healthy. But our feelings are also governed by our beliefs and our understanding. So the question is, what do we base our belief on church upon? What do we base our understanding of church upon? Do we just take what our non-Christian friends say or what a BBC presenter might say? Do we just take what our non-Christian family says or what society says about church? You see, church described here in verse 2 by the Apostle Paul as the church of God. So we need to know what God has to say about the church, his church. So will today you allow the Lord Jesus to speak into your life, to teach you more about his church? Will you apply what he has to say about the church to your life day by day as one who claims to have him as your Lord? As we think about Paul's letter to the Corinthians, there was a church begun in Corinth around the time of AD 49 when Paul first visited the city. It was a very cosmopolitan city, and Paul went there and as an apostle of Jesus Christ, that is someone who was an authorized representative of Jesus to speak his word, He proclaimed the message of Christ there, and a church was begun by the will of God. About 5 years later, Paul was then in Ephesus, and he was starting a church there as well. He began to receive reports from the church in Corinth that were not good. Things were going wrong in the thinking and the behaviour of those who were part of the church there. He also seems to have received a letter from perhaps some of the new leaders in the church in Corinth who were disputing his authority and arguing with some of the things that he was teaching about the Christian life. And Paul responds by writing this letter we now have in the New Testament as 1 Corinthians or 1 Corinthians. And he begins by focusing in his introduction on the church. He uses the traditional way of starting a letter in those days, but he uses it to focus their minds upon the nature of the church. Because as people understand the church, so they can live lives correctly as Christians in relation to the church and in the way that they behave. So as we hear God's word today, we need to submit our lives to the way that Jesus speaks about his church. And first of all, we see that the church is the assembly of people set apart as holy to God. We see that at the beginning of verse 2. The church is the assembly of people set apart as holy to God. I'm sure we're all familiar from our school days of the idea of an assembly. Everyone belonging to the school, or perhaps to a particular year group in the school, or perhaps to a different other sort of grouping within the school, would be called to assemble together for a particular common purpose. Well, the original word that is translated as church in the New Testament is not particularly a religious word. It was a word that simply referred to a gathering together of a group of people for a common purpose. It may be a political grouping who gathered together for a particular purpose, or it may be a grouping of a particular people who had shared a philosophy in life together that was separate from everybody else, and they would gather together. And they were called an assembly that Paul uses to describe the church. When it comes to the church ideas and beliefs are important. But first and foremost, in the church, we see here that it is the church of God. It is an assembly of people together with a common purpose, which is for God. So first of all, the church is the assembly of God's people. People who belong to God assemble together. They meet together. If you belong to God, you meet together physically, coming together as God's people in his name. Now, church is more than just a meeting, but it's never less than the meeting together of God's people. What we do today on Zoom, and we've been doing on Zoom and on YouTube, strictly speaking, is not church. Thankfully, in these days of restrictions, we've been able to do things that churches do. We've been able to sing praise to God at the same time together. We've been able to pray together, bringing our prayers to the Lord as someone leads us in prayer, and be able to say amen to those prayers. That we've been able to hear God's word together. And those are good things that we've been able to do. But something's been missing through these months. And that's the physical assembling together of the people of God, because that's what church is, the assembling together of God's people. Now, hopefully from next Sunday morning, we'll be able to meet together physically as church, even though that's still going to be in slightly restricted ways. For some of you, I know, for reasons of health, for others, because of conscience in following the government guidelines of those who are over 70 shouldn't be meeting or should try and be careful, you may not be able to meet together. And we're trying to make practical arrangements that you will still be able to join us online, which is why we've been delaying, so that we can get the broadband up online, working at church, so that we can also include you being able to Zoom in as we meet together at the building, others be able to still watch online. But if you're not restricted in those ways, as Christians, meeting together as God's people is what the church is. So please don't think that if you're a Christian with Jesus of your Lord, as your Lord, that you can opt out of the meeting together of the church by choice. Unless you have good reason, don't choose what may be just an easy option of, yeah, staying in bed, but just clicking online and being able to hear God's word and pray. Don't choose that option. If you physically are able, then the place to be church is by gathering together as God's people. Maybe there are lots of other priorities in life. Yes, there are. Don't choose those over being church. Meeting together as God's people. Don't make it a common practice that you just opt out of the meeting together, because what church is people belonging to God, assembling together as God's people. Does that mean that anyone who just meets up together and does what church does is part of the church? Is anyone who turns up to a church meeting counted as a Christian and so part of the church? Well, that's not what Paul says. If you look again at verse 2, he says that the church is a church that belongs to God, but it's those people sanctified in Christ Jesus. So it is assembling together of God's people, but it is those people who are sanctified in Christ Jesus. Well, what does that mean? What's it mean to be sanctified in Christ Jesus? Well, simply sanctified means to be set apart as holy to God, belonging to God. Set apart as holy to God, belonging to God in Christ Jesus. Paul actually uses here the past tense. So he's speaking about something that happened to his readers in the past. He's not talking about something here initially that's ongoing. He's talking about an event that took place in their lives when they were set apart as holy to God. Something that brought them into union with Jesus Christ, so to be counted as holy in God's sight, belonging to him, being part of the church. And there are clues in Paul's section on thanksgiving to God that tell us, how did that come about? How does someone get set apart as holy to God? Well, first of all, we see in verse 4 that it was only by God's grace. Paul gives thanks to God for his grace. And it is by God's grace that people are set apart as holy to God, being united with Christ. It's not something that anyone can earn. So you don't turn up to church and have a little tick against your name and say, yes, you're now counted as holy to God. It's something that only God gives by his grace. Not something that could be earned, not something because you're a certain particular type of person who could be counted as holy to God. It is something that comes about totally undeserved because it is freely given by God. God took pity on these people. He dealt with them in their helpless state as they were under his judgment and wrath. And he changed all that by uniting them to Christ and saving them. So it's by God's grace, but we see how it happens also, that it comes about through hearing the message of Jesus Christ. Paul speaks about that in verse 6. He talks about his testimony about Christ. Paul's referring there to the time that he arrived in Corinth, having been to Athens, and he spoke the message of Jesus Christ to the people in Corinth. So belonging to God, being set apart as holy to God, comes about by God's grace through hearing the word of Christ. hearing the message that Jesus is the Son of God, God's Christ, who came into the world, became man, who lived the perfect life that we have never lived, and who then gave up that life in his death upon the cross as an offering to God, dying under God's judgment in our place, so that we can be forgiven our sin and counted righteous in God's sight. That's the message of the gospel that people need to hear. And it's through that message that by God's grace, he works for people to respond in repentance, turning from going their own way and putting their trust in this Jesus who's died for them so that they can be counted righteous in God's sight. So the question for us today is, are we just meeting together like this, or have we been set apart for God, as holy to God in Christ, by hearing the word of God and by God's grace working in our lives so that we have repented of our sins and trusted and are following Jesus as our Lord? Have you heard and responded to that message in repentance and faith? If you have, it's good news, because you are now the church. You are part of the church. You are set apart for God, as holy to God in Christ Jesus. And more than that, we see God's Spirit now dwells in us, so that we now have fellowship with God through Jesus Christ. We see that in verse 9. Paul talks about having fellowship with his Son. And that means having a relationship with Jesus, so that we are now in relationship with God. We can know God and live day by day, having a relationship with him. We also see in verse 5 that by the Holy Spirit, God has equipped us to be serving him with the spiritual gifts. He calls it, he says, we've been enriched by God through his Holy Spirit to be able to serve God. So we're not just called to be set apart for God for no purpose. We are called to serve him, and we can do that because he enriches us by his spiritual gifts to do that. So we should be excited about being church, about assembling together, because it's a sign that God's grace has worked in our lives, that we're no longer what we used to be, going our own way and under God's judgment, but we are now set apart for God, as holy to God, and able to praise and to serve him by his equipment, having a relationship with him. And so we should want to meet together, assemble together as God's people, to show the world that God's grace is powerful to have changed our lives. And more than that, to do what Paul does in this letter, to thank God for his wonderful grace. As we come as people who have experienced God's grace in our lives, and together we can praise God for that grace and show to the world that God is alive, God is working, and God is changing, has changed our lives. So will you think rightly about the church? It's not just an optional extra, it's what you are. If God's grace has worked in your life, as you've heard the gospel, you've repented and believed in Christ, and God's worked in your heart and now is working in you, giving you that working of his Spirit to be able to serve him in the life of the church and to want to thank and to praise him. And that's what we see next. The church isn't just a thing about what's happened in the past. The church is about today and what God is doing today, because we see in the next part of verse 2 that the church is to be holy, a holy people, not just set apart as holy in God's sight, but actually to be being made holy. You see, it's not just about the past of God's grace and what God has done in your life in the past in causing you to hear the gospel and to repent and believe in him. Church is about continual transformation in your life, continually being changed in your life to be what God now sees you in Christ as being, and that is holy. You see, before we became Christians, we were rebels against God. We lived life our own way, going our own way. We displayed that in all sorts of ways, in sins in our lives, against God and against other people. Yeah, we hurt, we offended God, we hurt other people by doing things against them. But more than that, we were broken on the inside. Our character was deformed. Our thinking was darkened. We didn't think straight. Our lives were enslaved to many little addictions and phobias, or some big addictions and big phobias. That's what we were like before we were Christians. But on becoming a Christian, not only have we been counted holy, so all of those things have been dealt with in God's sight, but God now begins to change us. So the old sinful ways in our lives begin to be put out of our lives. The old broken character in our lives begins to be changed to become the good character like the Lord Jesus Christ. The old addictions and phobias of our lives are put to death. The broken character of our life is healed. And that's what we are to be being like as church. It's an ongoing process, becoming more like Jesus in his character and his ways, in freely loving and serving God and in serving one another. Now, I don't know if you ever tried to change your life. It's hard work. And you might think, well, then being church is going to be pretty miserable. It's going to be a real old slog, miserable people gathering together. We're going to be miserable because so often we fail and so often we try and it doesn't seem to work. Is that what church is like? Well, there's no doubt that becoming holy is seriously hard work. There will be times when we will be sorrowful and miserable because we fail. There will be times when there'll be sorrow because we've hurt one another and the church isn't being what it should be. But there are two great encouragements in these verses that makes church be dynamic and exciting. First of all, if you look at verse 3 in Paul's greeting to the church, we read this: "Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." We have an ongoing resource from God to be being changed by him, to be holy. It may be hard work. It may be a slog. It may be times when we'll be sad and miserable because we fail. But we have the resource of God, grace and peace, to be being changed, to be holy. Not just to be holy in his sight, but to become more like the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, grace in your life is not just a thing of the past when you became a Christian. Grace is God's ongoing favor to his people to provide us with all the resources that we need as we live by faith in Jesus Christ to be the people that he has called us to be. And when we do fail, and we feel miserable because we know we've failed God, we've hurt God, we've hurt other people, we still have peace with God. That doesn't stop. And God calls us to repent, to confess those sins, and he forgives us. And we're still at peace with God, and we still have peace in our hearts. So don't think that church is a miserable place. It's a hopeless place. We have the resources of God to be what he calls us to be. That's one great encouragement that makes church an exciting and dynamic place. But look at the other one in verse 8. The completion of this work is guaranteed. He will keep you firm to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. Do you see that? Yeah, it may be hard work. God provides the resources and God completes the work. It is guaranteed. What God calls us to be, God will make us to be. God is preparing us for heaven to be perfect so that we can be in his presence and see Jesus face to face. And what God has begun in our lives, God will complete in our lives as we live by faith in Jesus Christ, trusting his means of grace in our lives. Isn't that wonderful? Church is an exciting place to be because it is in church, as people, his people meet together, that God works by his grace. And do you see that God will even keep us going in faith? It's as we live by faith, so we trust in the resources of prayer and the good word of God and the fellowship of God's people to be enabling us to be becoming holy like Jesus Christ. And it's God who keeps us living by faith. It says, he will keep you firm to the end. So there's no giving up. There's no hopelessness, no misery. God provides the resources and God will complete the work. Yes, church is an ongoing challenge, but it's never boring. It's where God's grace continues to work, where our preparation for heaven continues to take place. Are you committed to a life of being changed, being part of the church? You will be if God's grace has worked in your life to set you apart for God in Christ Jesus, to be holy for him. And you will want to meet together as God's people, because that's part of the means of God's grace to be working in you, to be making you more like the Lord Jesus Christ, experiencing his power to change you. And maybe today there are sins in your life that need to be killed off, need to be put to death by the power of the Spirit. Maybe there are parts of your character that need to be healed. Well, church is where God does that, by his grace at work through the word of Christ, through the prayers of his people, through the fellowship of his people. Don't miss out on being changed by the grace of God. Be a part of the church that God has called you into, where you belong, when he set you apart, when you came to repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Be church and be holy. Finally, we see here that church is united under the Lord Jesus Christ. Church is united under the Lord Jesus Christ. Comes at the end of verse 2. We'll begin to see next week that sadly there were many divisions because of pride in people's hearts in the church of Corinth. And sadly today, there are still many divisions in the church of Jesus Christ. But the way that those divisions are overcome is by understanding the church right. Understanding that by nature, the church is united in Jesus Christ. By nature, the church is united under the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul points to that at the end of verse 2, doesn't he? He says, together with all those everywhere who call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and our Lord. In one sense, you can't get more inclusive than what Paul says here, together with all those everywhere. Now, that there's no barrier to people becoming part of the church. All those everywhere. Anyone, whatever sort of person they've been in their lives, whatever color, whatever background, anyone can be a part. At the time Paul was talking, he was particularly thinking about Jews and Gentiles who in the society of that day were implacably against one another. But in the church, they have become one people. Those everywhere. How have they become one people? because of being united in Christ, having him as their saviour, having him as their Lord, and living under his lordship in their lives. That's the exclusive factor that makes the church, one church, united in the Lord Jesus Christ. All sorts of people, but one church. It is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that faith being worked out in obedience to his lordship. In other words, true unity is worked out only as people continue to live by faith in Jesus Christ, continuing to be obedient to him, living according to his word. So there will be those who call themselves church who will be divided off from the church because they know that they don't live by faith in Jesus Christ. They don't live in obedience to him. But where there are people of true faith in Jesus Christ, trusting in Jesus, the Son of God, who died on the cross for their sins, living with him as the Lord of their lives, the Lord of the church, there is a unity of those people. And that unity is to be worked out in practice. It's not just a nominal unity, a theoretical unity. We see in verse 9 where Paul talks about that we now have fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, fellowship with God's Son. That word fellowship is not just about having a relationship, having tea and coffee, having social time. It means participation. Participation in the family business. We have been called and united in the family business of Jesus Christ. And that business is building the church. That's what Jesus is about today, at the right hand of the Father. He is building his church in the world through the going out of the gospel by the power of his Spirit. And he does that through the unity of his church in fellowship with him and in fellowship with one another, doing his work. So, as Christians, there are no Lone Ranger Christians in the life of the church. People who dissociate themselves from the church but say, I'm a Christian, I'm doing God's work, I'm telling people the gospel. It's the church working together, participating together in the work of the gospel, praying together, giving together, serving together. That is the fellowship, the unity of the church that God's called us into, and that we are to put into practice in our lives as God's people. And it's an exciting work because it's the work of God changing people's lives by calling them into his church. By that grace, as they hear the gospel and believe and repent, trusting in Jesus Christ, it's the work of seeing people's lives being transformed. From being enslaved to their sins and to their phobias, to being set free, to having their character changed. It's an exciting work to be involved in. Will you be a part of it? Will you think biblically, think in accordance with God's word about the church and apply it to your life, to your claim to be a Christian, to be trusting in Jesus and to be having Jesus as your Lord? Maybe today you need to get real about participation in the church by committing yourself to the life of a local church, perhaps coming into membership of a local church. Maybe you need to speak to myself or one of the elders about joining the membership of Kidderminster Evangelical Church if you're a part of this fellowship, or wherever you are, if you're listening online. Delighted to speak to you about that. Maybe you've been a church member for some time, but actually it's not real. It's just theoretical. You think, well, I'm a church member, I'm united with the church. But you've not been involved in church meetings as we gather together to discuss the business of the church. You've not been joining together with the church as you have opportunity to do so. Maybe you need to get real about that again in your life. You need to repent of not being real about the unity of the church and the fellowship of God's people. And get back involved in the life of the church. As we begin to try and open up the church and meet together, maybe now is the time to take that step and to make that commitment to assemble together in praise and thanksgiving to God for his wonderful grace in your life. To be a part of a church that's being changed by God's grace, at peace with God, as we meet together and as we hear his word, as we pray together. Being a church that is united with one another, but also seeking to serve in our area with other churches who are united by faith in Jesus Christ, seeking to make the gospel known in our area. Well, we listen to God's word today about the church, think rightly about the church, and know that it's an exciting place to be that God's called us into. Will you be a part of his church? Let's come before God in prayer before we sing a closing hymn. Let's just be quiet before the Lord and just think about what we've heard and respond in our hearts to Jesus today. Father God, we pray that you would help us to reflect upon the truth of your word about the church to us this morning. Help our thinking to be in line with what you have to say about your church, not to be in line with the thinking of the world or just how we feel about church. Forgive us where we've claimed to be Christians and trusting in Jesus, but we haven't lived under his lordship in respect to his church. And we thank you for the encouragement that we receive today, that being a part of your church is a work of your grace. As we heard the gospel, as we repented and believed, that was because of your free gift of faith into our lives and bringing us into union with the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, thank you for your ongoing grace and peace that is at work in our lives, that we know that it's not a helpless and hopeless work of becoming more like the Lord Jesus Christ, of being a church that is holy. It is a work that you're involved in and a work that you will complete. And help us to try and work out the true unity of the church in our lives, in practice individually, by assembling together as your people, but as a church together in seeking to work with other churches in making the gospel known. May we have that unity with those who are trusting in Jesus and what he has done in his death upon the cross, and that power of your spirit to work within us. And may we see your name glorified and honored. Hear our prayer now in the name of Jesus. Amen. I don't know whether you noticed, but in those verses that Marion read and we've been thinking about, nine verses are there, and the uniting factor in those verses is the Lord Jesus Christ. Nine times Paul refers to Jesus Christ by name in those verses. The church is all about Jesus, and we're going to sing about the Lord Jesus Christ. In Christ alone my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. Let's sing this song at the same time as we praise and thank God for Jesus.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. to say, till on that cross as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied, for every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live.
Share the grace as we finish. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with all God's people now and forevermore. Amen.